As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
This is Mike Young. Welcome to the radio show, Love My Renovation Project. Man, we're already in January. Good God, where did last year go? Anyway, Love My Renovation Project. We're going to discuss everything regarding renovation projects, whether they're either FHA, Homestyle, VA, Farm Administration, anything that and everything. I guess there's about 9 different programs that we will get involved with from time to time. There seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking that there's no work for them. I was looking at some of the blog posts, and they seem like they feel like there's too many been created, too many consultants, and that in doing so, there's not enough work for any of them to survive. I was looking for some consultants in Kansas the other day, and I still am, for that matter. And we cannot find anybody close to where the project is. So there's still room for some consultants. And number one, the more consultants that serve an area, the more work we all can do if you understand the animal. And it's clear there's a lot of consultants that don't understand the animal. They become a consultant and they're sitting around waiting for a phone to ring. You have to market yourself. You have to market the product. You can't just sit and wait for the phone to ring. You have to make that phone ring. So if you want to know how to do that, get on to 203ksoftware.com and order our training module. It's $489, but we'll show you how to earn. Well, I tell you what, if you follow the instructions in our training manual, you can have 40 jobs going in 60 days. 40 jobs in 60 days just with the marketing program we have there. And if you're not doing that, then you're not really in the business. So, you know, don't complain that there's not enough work. There is plenty of work. You can create your own. I can literally go into any city in the United States and create 40 jobs in 60 days. It's that simple. But you have to walk the walk. You can't just talk the talk, okay? Manufactured homes in a lot of areas might be a way for you to get a lot of work as long as the land is owned, because FHA and Fannie Mae both finance renovations on manufactured homes. So they have to have been built after June 15th, 1976. And if they have, that means that you can add that to your repertoire. Okay, if you want to be part of the show today, feel free to call in at 888-627-6008, toll free and ask your renovation questions or tell us about your story. If you're a consultant and you're having trouble getting started, getting enough business to keep yourself afloat, then feel free to call in and ask your questions. We'll be happy to answer most of them. I'm not going to give away all my marketing secrets by any means. And in our advanced marketing course, which I tell you, only a handful nationally, only a handful of people have tried it, maybe 20, 25. So we just want to get in there and show you how to market, show how to use the skills you've learned. Okay, well, most 203Ks go off without a hitch. From time to time, the homeowner particularly may find themselves without anybody to talk to on their side of the equation that understands the 203K or the Homestyle loan products. If you have a problem with your renovation project, don't mind discussing it on live radio, please call in. That number again, 888-627-6008. And we're going to give it out a few more times during the show, just before and after every break. We'll give that phone number out again. So, but if you want to do it privately, feel free to go to 203K 203K911.com. 203K911.com. And describe your, go down to where you can hit us a message and send us a message. And in that message, tell us all about your project. As much information as you can give me in a thumbnail. I mean, I'm not looking for a book, but give me an idea of what happened and what the problem is and what you think the solution might be. And if you don't have a solution for you, I'm sure that we can figure one out. If you've got a topic, if you're anybody going to have a topic, a lender, a homeowner, a consultant, whatever, has a topic that they'd like to discuss more in more specific terms, then feel free to give us that messaging, and we'll be happy to talk one-on-one. So last week's show was primarily for homeowners and buyers, so let's see what's in it for us today. I've always said, as we get into the show here, I've always said that your new house isn't your new house until you've changed the floor coverings, particularly if you have carpeting. I like carpeting. I like carpeting much better than tile. You know, when I get down into Mexico and we stay in our place down there, I don't really like the tile on my feet. It's hard and it's cold, but most people like it because it's cold and it keeps you cool. But anyway, I like carpeting myself. I like nice plush carpeting, soft on my feet. But if I'm buying a new house and it's got carpet, even if it's got brand new carpeting in it, I want to change it. You know, we had a job in Moraga, California, a few years back. Lady purchased it. She didn't like the style or the color, so she had it replaced as part of her 203K project. What was under it was absolutely appalling to all of us. Cat urine stains everywhere. I mean, that cat was urinating everywhere in her house. And in one corner where it did most of the urination, the wood was rotted and they covered it up with carpet. How in the world can you cover that up with carpet? That was brand new, so it still had the new carpet smell to it. But in a few months, that's going to start coming through. So as part of our 203K, we finished, you know, ripped out the bad wood and so forth, used TSP on the rest of the floor, and got the smell up until she was satisfied that it was clean. Then she asked us if we could skim it with another piece of plywood right over the top of everything, and we ended up doing that. I'd been happy to take the old plywood up, but she was happy just to get it skimmed and save the money of the demo. Anyway, see, we had another experience where the home was purchased and was reportedly just renovated. Okay, here's a home. Client was just renovated, but they wanted to do a few repairs. So we get out there, and shortly after moving in, they noticed a couple of floor tiles were cracked very badly in the bathroom. Actually, both bathrooms. They decided to replace the tile as they really didn't like the color anyway. And with the broken tiles, it made good sense for them to change it. When the worker pulled up the old tiles, they found that it had been installed without the benefit of thinset. Now, thinset is typically the adhesive layer, the concrete grout, if you will, that goes under the tile. So it is fully supported all the way across. Instead, this stuff had spot of white caulking in each corner of each tile, and then they placed it in there and got it all to sit real pretty, and they grouted it. The problem is it's like a table sitting on four legs, and when anybody were to step in the center of a tile, then it would crack and fall down the height of that caulking that was in there as its leg. It's outrageous. These people should be horsewhipped for calling themselves a renovation company. It was like the 12 by 12 tiles were sitting on four legs, and when you stepped on it, those doggone tiles would crack. This is not what I call a recent renovation. The investor had no idea what to renovate a home and should be banned from doing any more, or should hire contractors. That's what contractors do for a living. Once it sold, I had the opportunity to meet with the new buyers and ask them about the home. It was the same way. even painted around furniture. There were blocks of areas with different colored paint where it looked obviously he painted around the furniture that was there. He had no intention of moving anything and painting it properly. What I recommend to those kind of people is hire a painter. I know they're expensive, but they are worth every penny of it. Kurt Verardi, if you're listening to this, I was never more impressed with anybody. I know your dad was a painter with UA, United Artists Theaters, and so forth. But when you painted my little mini mall, I was just totally proud of the way you put that together. I mean, it's clearly that a professional painter can do a much, much better job than any homeowner. And it's well worth it. The speed which way they get the job done, and literally the paint lays down better for them. He would lay that paint down with a brush on the trim, and the lines would disappear, and it looked like glass. It was just beautiful. So anyway, so as they say, buyer beware. I pull carpeting up at the corner or two and look underneath before I purchase a property. It freaks out the people that you're showing you the property. You can't do that. I said, whoops. I already did. I had an apartment building once that I was buying years ago. Now, this is not anything recent. It was in escrow when I received a call from a neighbor who informed me that somebody was stealing the carpet out of that building. Well, I called the seller, let him know about it, and I was closer than they would, so they'd asked me to go up and meet the cops there. I called the policeman, headed over to the... We caught this guy, and his excuse was, I just got out of prison, and I need to eat, so I'm stealing this carpet and going to sell it for food. I was dumbfounded. You risk going back to prison. Why were you in... That's probably why you're in the prison in the first place, you nitwit. The sheriff showed up shortly thereafter, and when I got there, and I went upstairs to look at the carpet, and this hungry lad apparently didn't know how easy it is to pull carpet up off the tack strips. He had taken a knife and came in about 6 inches and cut the carpet all the way around the room. So instead of just taking it back up there, finding out which way it laid, and relaying it, now we had to seam it. Well, actually, I didn't have to seam it. It was still in escrow. It hadn't closed yet. So the insurance company for the seller had to seam it, or have it seamed. It was most interesting to see the way the police officer worked. Officer West, my favorite police officer that I've ever met. Well, not. I take that back. My cousin's still the favorite police officer I've ever met. But Officer West just really handled the situation well, and when he pulled away, he was looking in his mirror, apparently, because the guy got in my face a little bit, and he spun around and came back and threw the guy up against the wall. I know it's nothing to do with any rehab, but it was kind of interesting. And I said, no, everything's fine. He said, oh, it looked like he was getting in your face. And I said, well, I was a drill sergeant in the Army. He can get in my face. It doesn't bother me. And I used to provide work for people who had changed their lives that were in prison, San Quentin, when Martinez was the commandant. And we had offered, I told Martinez a blanket thing. If you got somebody who's really trying to make the effort to change their life and they need a job to get out 6 months early, I said, we'll provide them a job. So that's what we did. So his little effort at intimidation didn't work with me. Anyway, let's see, where are we? Back here to my notes. Aha, looking at the clock. And Doug is waving at me. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. We'll be right back as soon as we get there. If you want to be part of the show, want to call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free, be part of the show. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, we're back with you. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, toll free. So let's get back to it. It seems that you always hear about a good deal right after you bought something else. Okay, well, don't you find that to be true? I've always found it to be true. In any case, there's a unique aspect of the 203K that you need to know about. If you just bought a home, 1 to 4 units, and then you realize you didn't have the money to fix it up, you were a little short, or there's more work than you anticipated, or you wanted to add, if it's units, you wanted to update one of the kitchens, and you didn't really take that close a look at it when you bought it. Well, there's a unique aspect of the 203K. If you refinance immediately and close the refinance loan within 6 months of the original purchase, then all that money you put down counts as money you got down now. Isn't that slick? So let's say you bought a house for $400,000 and you knew there was things wrong with it, but you figured you'd just take and fix those things yourself personally over time, or hire a contractor to do the tougher things. But anyway, you're going to leave it up to the future and what you might have. And then all of a sudden you had a small hiccup and you spent that money elsewhere because of emergency, and now you don't have the money to fix that house up. Well, in that first 6 months after you purchase, you're going to refinance it into a 203K, and you're going to get credit for all that down payment that you put down. So if you had a $400,000 purchase, and you put down, let's say you put down 10%, that's $40,000. Isn't it nice to be able to count that $40,000 again as money you got down for this refi? And yes, we're going to have to refinance it, and we're going to add into it, we're going to add the cost of the construction. So if the cost of the construction is another $40,000, or let's say $50,000, so we don't get it confused with the 10% that we put down, you're going to get a new loan for $450,000. And you only have to put 3.5% down. So you've already got more than that down, because the other loan you got might have been a conventional loan and didn't require the repairs that the FHA might. But you've already got it all down, so you don't have to come out of pocket for any more money. Nothing else out of your pocket. Whoa, isn't that cool? I think it is, frankly. So what happens is, we had a couple in Vacaville, California. And for those who speak Spanish, yes, it is Cowtown, California. And it's just north of Fairfield, where my office was at the time. This guy purchased an older home that was gutted. They paid cash, as I recall. He was a contractor himself, so he was going to do all this work himself, in between his contracting work. And if anybody is a contractor and you're married to him, you don't want him to buy your house in bad shape expecting him to fix it up, or her to fix it up. It's just not going to happen. They are going to continue doing the things that makes their money to put food on the table, and your project is going to be stalemated. So I got him to agree that in this case, it was long enough ago that you could do self-help, and he was a licensed contractor in Vacaville. So everything was running in his favor, but we really had to push him to get the job done, to get that final takeoff. He made it pretty fast. He got it to the point where you could live in it. But after that, all the finish trim and all that stuff was really a challenge, if anything else, to get him to get it finished. Anyway, so we were able to get the scope of work put together and have a new escrow closed in a short order. I think from the time he bought it, within days, he heard about the 203K, and he was able to call us, get us out there. We created a scope of work. His wife was much happier knowing they had the money set aside now for the entire rehab and didn't have to wait to finish a job, take some of that money and do part of it and so forth. It was just not going to happen in a timely manner that way. So this was much, much better for them. And it turned out quite nice, actually. I got to tell you this. If the lender that's made your original loan is going to tell you you cannot refinance your loan within 6 or 12 months, they're just going to say you can't. And so what I'm going to suggest you do is you have that lender write the new loan, the refinance with the 203K money in addition, because they will effectively lose their commission on your first loan if you refinance before 6 months. So it's to your advantage to refinance immediately, as soon as possible, and close it before that 6 month point. That's why, because they're going to get those commissions back, that's where they're going to get the money to put your down payment where it belongs, in the new loan. So rather than have, if your loan officer, which most of them do, work extremely hard for their clients, if he's worked and done a good job for you, just ask him to do the refi and to close it right away, as soon as possible. That way he'll lose the one, but he'll gain another commission. So it'll wash, it'll be a net wash. Okay. Let's see. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about mixed-use properties. If investors, I see a lot of investors getting out there and thinking they're investors, they're buying properties. Some of them don't know the first thing about renovation. If you don't, hire somebody that does. Hire a licensed contractor. Whoopee! What an idea. A novel idea. Don't screw it up. You're not only going to screw it up for yourself, you're going to screw it up for the buyer. You're going to screw it up for future sales. You're going to get a bad reputation in the business. If that's your goal, just tell everybody you're bad and don't do it in the first place. But it's an excellent way for a new investor to get started, especially a young person who doesn't mind living in one of the rental units, because FHA is only owner-occupied. You don't have to occupy every rental unit, but you do need to occupy one rental unit. So you can purchase and renovate a mixed-use property, provided the commercial space represents less than one floor or 49%, whichever is more stringent. So if it's a three-story building, commercial can only be on the lower level. If it's a two-story building, it can only be 49% or less can be commercial. And that's easily attained. The staircase going up to the residential is counter to the residential. And that's where you pick up that 1%. We had one years ago, not that long ago, about 3 years ago, down in Morgan Hill or somewhere in that direction. Might have been Salinas. But we had the ideal situation. We had a store and we had a house, two separate buildings. The house was just a little smaller than the commercial. So what we were going to do is we were going to take part of that commercial building and turn it into a garage for the house, thereby capturing additional provable space that was residential. And, hey, Doug, that might be something for you. If you guys find a mixed-use building, you could have the radio station right there below where you live. Anyway, 203K can do that. So at that one in Morgan Hill, though, what we did was we were going to connect the house to the commercial building, so the garage that was then connected to the house, and you could walk through a tunnel, if you would, to get to the house after you parked your car in the garage. You didn't have to go back outside. Another caveat is the commercial use can't affect the health and safety of the occupants in the residential side. It's only FHA, though Fannie Mae doesn't do this. In the case of a single-story building, the guideline was recently changed to allow, again, 49% on a single story can be commercial. Now, before that change in 2015, you only had 25% could be commercial. The balance had to be residential. So we had one in Oakland years ago that was a warehouse, and the clients turned it into live work. And we had to delineate on the floor exactly where the residential and the commercial separated. Another mixed unit, at that time they were only 25% could be used for commercial. Now it's 49, so it'd be even a better thing. They just need a place to park their truck, their commercial truck. Another mixed-use property we did was an old store in downtown area, current residential aspect, and it had no current residential aspect to it. Had the investor merely purchased it as is, he would have to come up with about 35% down payment. By using the FHA and adding residential aspects like four residential units above it, that would maximize his loan amount. And if you qualify for a single family house, because they count the income from the other units as part of your income, you could probably qualify for a duplex, triplex, or a fourplex. But with this a commercial building, this is a single story, freestanding building, if you wanted to, you can put the upstairs, just add one layer and make it a full home for yourself and live right there over where you work. So when you're working late at night, your spouse actually knows, in fact, he's working late at night. Anyway, you get it for 3.5% down instead of 35% down. So that changes the dynamics tremendously. Real estate agents, if you're listening right now and you're in the commercial property, look at the commercial property. If it's a freestanding building, there's tons of them, particularly in downtown areas. I was looking at Vallejo the other day, and there's a bunch of vacant mixed-use buildings there. Stockton, same way, bunch of mixed-use buildings that are vacant. And you can take those things and get them for 3.5% down. 3.5% down. So why pay 35% down? Why leave them sit there? Cities, if you're listening, you can move those properties and get people in them and get activity back in that commercial area. So, I've got a fun one. When we get back from this next break, we're going to talk about a wonderful entrepreneur who had the skills to get this thing done and an imagination, and I'm going to explain what I'm talking about when we come right back. So stay tuned with us. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, we're back with you. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Happy to have you there. Anyway, years ago, I was actually taking a seminar, and these guys and I went to lunch afterward. When I came back after the seminar, they started telling my stories as if they were their stories, stories that I had shared with them at lunch. But one of the stories they shared was very, very interesting to me. They had a motel property in Southern California, I want to say around San Diego, somewhere in that area. And they had a problem keeping it sold. They would sell it. They'd try to run it as a hotel or a motel, and it just went back to foreclosure, and it had been like five or six foreclosures on that same place, one right after the other. Nobody was able to get it to run as a motel for a year. They just immediately, you know, they put a lot of money into it, got it fixed up, got it, tried to rent it out and use it as a motel, and it just fell flat on its face. It was not a good site for a motel. And each time the bank took it back, they lowered the price, sold it again. So what happened was this entrepreneur, young guy, saw this thing. All your investors out there, I'm going to give you a secret as I divulge his secret. But he made a deal with the bank. They were asking too much in his opinion, even though they had dropped it six times. So he made him a low ball offer, and they took it. And he told them it was all cash. He bought all cash. Now, you can do that if you're an investor and you have the money. If you don't, turn it into a fourplex. He had a motel. You actually, the wall, it was built right on the sidewalk, and it had a drive-through area where you drove into this area underneath, and you went into it like a tunnel inside, and you parked inside around the pool. So it had a big pool in the middle and some grass, and it was a pretty nice property from what I hear. The problem was that it was all motel rooms, motel sizes, and not in an area where motels were successful. So what he did was he cleaned it up and turned those rooms into apartments. Now, he got a lot more than fourplexes. I don't know that a fourplex would fit that particular property. But he started renting them out. The going rent for the size of the apartments that he built was about $700 a month, $600 to $700. He rented these out for $1,400 a month, and he had people waiting in line to get him. It had people waiting in line to get them. So why? What did he do different? Well, he put up an automatic gate, and he gave all the tenants keypads so they could come and go as they needed. And he advertised this as a nude optional. So you drove into the place, you had to drive around to the right, go around the swimming pool and so forth, and park any lie along the way. And if you live there, this is a nude optional, and because of that, it rented it out. Now, he did confess to me, he says, not one person ever went nude at the pool. But the idea that they could and would and might, the voyeurs and everybody paid double rent in that area, and he was extremely successful. Now, I don't know how long it lasted, but something like that, you'd definitely want at least a one-year lease. In fact, I would be doing two-year leases on some of the units so that you had you never went empty at the same time. We were just talking about this entrepreneur, and I thought that he was beyond his time. So next, we're going to talk a little bit about residential to non-residential property or mixed-use properties. But if you have a non-residential, that's a commercial property, particularly a hard-to-rent, single-story commercial building. There's people who get stuck with this type of property all the time. Banks foreclose on them regularly. What you do is you turn it into, you market it. You turn it into residential above, maybe two flights, maybe three flights, stories, if you would, where the down payment is 35%. Now you can get it for 3.5%, so that's cool. Convert larger properties into three- or four-unit properties. That's another big thing you can do. So if you've got a 5, 6, 7-unit, 8-unit building that's all studios, reconfigure it so that you have a few four-bedroom units. Four-bedroom units can be rented to Section 8 like hotcakes. I mean, they just go really fast. And if you write the right deal with yourself, you're going to get all your money paid to you, automatic deposit on the first of every month. You know, I don't know. I had a couple dozen Section 8 contracts at one time, and that money is going to be in my bank on the first, so I could start paying my bills on the first of every month. I didn't have to wait till the 5th or later. I had purchased a 14-unit building years ago, and the guy that had foreclosed on it told me, "I'm not going to take less than $210,000 for this building." He said, "I foreclosed on it. My investor paid $210,000." And I said, "Fine, I'll give you $210,000, but it's not worth $210,000 right now. It's not fixed up. So I'll give you $210,000. The guy was adamant about that. I said, "But I want no payments and no interest for 1 year." And the bank that had it said, "Fine, as long as I get $210,000 for the product, for the house or the building." It was completely gated. It had underground parking for everybody. It was on the first floor. And then three flights of your living units to get to 14 units. So, is that right? No, two flights, 7 and 7. So one person would rent a unit. That's the problem with studios, is because they were all studios. They get rented. Somebody walks in, signs a lease. You check his credit. Everything looks good. And lo and behold, you go back there, collect the first month's rent, and there's a woman or a family in there with five kids in your studio apartment, and they don't speak English or they don't know anything about it. "Oh, no, I rented this from Mr. So-and-so." So he sublet the building immediately. But that's in our contract that he can't do that, but he did it. So what do? You got to deal with it. Now you got to evict them. Section 8, once you start an eviction, Section 8 stops paying the mortgage, stops paying the payments because you're evicting them. Even though they're still living there, they should be paying the rent still until they leave. But they don't. So that's another thing you got to be careful about. But I can tell you, if you combine these units into create some four-bedroom, maybe some three-bedrooms, Section 8 will jump on those things, and you'll have most of your money covered. All right, we have a consultant question that came over here. "I found a foundation where a home used to be. Oh, can we use the FHA to rebuild the home?" Okay, well, that's a good question. I've seen a lot of that. I've got a couple that I've noticed lately that are just the foundations all sitting out there, and they got the foundation bolts sticking up. And don't look if it doesn't. Well, first off, it has to have had a certificate of occupancy at one time, at least 12 months earlier or more. So that's the caveat. Yes, you can build on that, but you have to use the original foundation. But you can add on to it. In this case, we have a slab foundation and you want to build on it. Yes, your new house is going to be much larger. Well, that's fine. As long as you use all of the original foundation, you can expand the footprint. You don't have to build the same house that was there by any means. How about I have an existing foundation and we use the entire foundation, but I want my new house bigger? That's what I just answered, so that's good. I think he was typing the question while I was typing the answer. And again, if the original foundation, then as long as you use that original foundation, you're good. Just read the guideline. The guideline is pretty clear on that situation. Another consultant question. Let's see. The lender wants us to make the contingency 5% versus the typical 10%. Is this okay? Well, the guideline is clear on that too. The guideline, all of your questions could probably be answered by finding it in the guideline, but that's 852 pages, I believe, and it's not always easy to find it. So that's why the consultants quite often ask me these questions. But the guideline says it can be 10%, 15%, or 20%. And if the utilities are off, or any one of the utilities are off, it should be 15%, not 10%. So can you go to 5%? No, is the answer, the easy answer. It's not 10, 15, or 20, therefore you can't do it. Now, if you're doing a limited 203K, now it's up to the lender. He can have a 0, 10, 15, or 20% contingency. But he can knock it out altogether. He can make it a 0 contingency reserve. Next question is there any reason we wouldn't want to do this? Yes. Yes, you don't want to do it because, one, it's against the guideline. You don't want to do it because, two, it doesn't give you a cushion in case you run into some real problems, the homeowner is going to have to come up with it. And likely, if he's asking you to cut this down to 0, 0, 0 or 5%, whatever, he's not capable of coming up with additional money to finish the project. So you get on there, you open a wall up, and you find the termites have eaten all the studs, and you don't know what the stucco is all that's holding the house up. So now you've got to get that fixed. Where's the money going to come from? It comes from your contingency. I'd like to see 20% contingency on every loan, but that's me. Another consultant question regarding the contingency again. Interesting. The lender is wondering if the draw fees can come out of it. So here's a guy, it sounds like he doesn't want to put any draw fees because he wants to keep his loan amount as low as possible. Whenever I hear somebody say, I want to keep my loan amount as low as possible, I want to throw my hands up in the air and run the other way and get out of there as fast as I can. Because that's the wrong attitude, the wrong thing to do. The thing to do is put 20% contingency in there. Draw fees can come out of it? No. Initially, your draw fees come out of whatever you set up. So if it's a six-month project and we have to be out there every month, then you're going to have five draws. You're not going to get six. But five actually works for 6 months because you're not going to get the first one for 30 days and now you're into the second month. But what happens is after that, yes, you can get into the contingency for additional draws over what you had set, scheduled. I've had people schedule one draw, and I said, well, I'm picking cash up at the time of the draws on the second, third, fourth one. Oh, gosh, can't you take it out of contingency? Well, we can as long as the contingency lasts. But the lender doesn't have to pay contingency until 90% of the work is completed. So if they decide to hold my draw fee until 90% of the work is completed, this isn't going to work for me. It may be dandy for you. But then we find some real issues that need that contingency. That's what they pay first, and I don't get anything as a consultant. So no, I recommend that you put five in there. And if you only use three, great. Take the other two, pay it down on your mortgage. Refinance when you get out of this thing. Renovation loans typically are about 5%. Is that right? 5 points higher, or excuse me, half a point higher, not 5 points, half a point higher than a standard loan. So you're paying more for the money anyway. So you're going to refinance when you get finished with a consulting and you're going to find you a better rate. I know where you can get some 3% money right now. Whoa. The going rate is around 4.5. So you get the construction done and then you refinance into the 3%. Okay? Because they won't touch you until the construction's done. Let's see. We had another one. No, draw fees can come out of it. No, that's the one we just did. So here we are. We're back up against the clock. So call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show and ask your questions. We would appreciate it. We love hearing from you guys and gals. So feel free to do that. In the meantime, we'll be back right after this message.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea. We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to be part of the show or call in with your question, feel free to call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free. Now, see, have you done this before? Oh, okay. He's asking. This is the consultant that asked the question about using contingency to pay your draws. I would not recommend that at all. So stay away from that. Consultant question. Another consultant question came in this week. We have a client right now whose bid listed 350 in labor and 150 in materials for installation and materials needed to install or set the kitchen appliances, including a kitchen sink and a faucet, a garbage disposal, a refrigerator, stovetop, a gas stovetop, and an oven microwave. Does that sound reasonable? If you look, he's wanting to know, can he accept that bid? Well, I think it's too cheap because he's not giving himself any credit for the materials you need. You're going to need a gas line and a valve for the gas range. What else has he got here? The sink itself is going to be $100 to $150. Gas line is going to be at least $50. Then he's got to install all this stuff. I think he's actually a little cheap. But as long as everybody understands he's not going to get any more for it than that, it's possible. But contractor may be cutting himself short. You know, some of these contractors don't realize they have a markup on their materials. They're entitled to it. It's the money that they might use to pay the guy to go pick that stuff up at the supplier, whichever, Lowe's, Home Depot, or a real supplier. Anyway, another consultant question that came in. We got busy towards the end of the week. We're now being asked by the lender if they can purchase an oven. Oh, and send the receipt in so that we can pay it out of the contingency. Is this something we can approve as a consultant? I assume it would be a change order, but marked as not a health or safety concern. Please advise. Well, no. Number one, you can't do that during the course of construction. You have to see it installed before you can pay for it. All change orders have to be 100% complete. So if you're paying it just because they paid for it at Home Depot, and they can show you a paid receipt, they can turn around tomorrow or even later this afternoon, take that receipt down, they haven't taken delivery on the material, and cancel the order and get their money back. And you've just authorized the money to be paid. So no, you can't do that. It has to be paid for in advance, delivered, installed. You verify that it's installed, and then you can do the change order on it. Change orders weren't intended for this kind of purchase, but certainly make it an argument. As far as that goes, if you're buying equipment and you don't mind a little ding in the back or on the side that doesn't show, you might consider Wilmart. That's where I bought all my stoves and refrigerators for rental units. I had about 300 rental units at one time. And if we needed new equipment, we got new equipment from Wilmart. It's an offshoot of Walmart. And what they do is anytime they get anything that's got a slight ding to it, they sell it to a landlord. And you can get some very, very good deals there. So give that a shot. I think you'll be happier. But not before it's installed and you've inspected it. Change orders are supposed to be 100% complete, installed, the whole works. And I wouldn't take a photograph or anything else because you don't know what house it's at. Another question that came in from consultants We have a 203K that had $600 for an attic fan installation on the original bid. Okay, I got that. They have since realized the attic fan cannot be installed, and they would like to use the $600 to install interior doors and knobs. Can this be approved by the consultant as a... We know it could be worked out as a change order, but they would rather not do a change order. Oh, gosh, you have to do a change order. Number one, if you say the fan is there and the appraiser comes out at the end or an inspector comes out to double check you, and that will happen, lenders are quite often sending an appraiser out to do what they call a 442 inspection, which is just... he's going to double check everything that you said was done. If he said that it had an attic fan and there's no attic fan, that's going to hang you up. Always do a change order, make it documented. The reason they don't want to do a change order is because it's going to cost them $100. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Waive your fee if you want to, but don't just arbitrarily mentally say, okay, we're not going to do that, so we're going to give you the $600 anyway for something else, because that is not going to keep you in business very long. It seems odd to me that with so many choices in attic fans that you can't find one that'll do the job. You know, we used to sell what we called a 135 vent. We were one of the largest vent manufacturers in the United States for years. And that 135 was a large flat vent that fit right on a roof, and you could stick a small fan behind that and ventilate your attic quite readily. A lot of other ways that you could have cable in vent fans and so forth. There's all kinds of choices. I don't know. I can't figure out why you had one listed and they changed their mind because it didn't fit. I don't want to believe that. I don't know why, it just doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, next question again from a consultant is, we have a final inspection next week, and we're going to have about $6,000 left in the contingency. The borrower is wanting to know if they can use that money for some additional cabinets and light fixtures. Excuse me. I stayed up too late last night. And whether or not it has to be completed by their deadline. To me, they have a contingency left over to use it however they please and shouldn't have a deadline, as in this case. We have not been asked this before. Can you help us? Well, yes. Once 90% of the work that was scheduled is completed and it's obvious you're not going to need that money, then you can apply it somewhere else. Now, that was not always the case, provided now that you get a dollar for dollar invested, a dollar return. So the value of the property is going to go up for $1 for every dollar you spend, as I believe that's the way it was written in the guideline. But you can easily do an extension request and just say, hey, we need another 2 weeks or whatever it is you need. And quite often, if that's your first request for an extension on this project, I'm sure it'll be granted. They don't have any trouble usually with one short extension request. Some of the vendors don't have any problems with multiple lengthy extensions. But you really should nail the contractor down, get a bid for the work that he's going to do, and make sure that it's reasonable before you just cut him loose. Some contractors look at change orders as gold, and they want to rip off somebody, so to speak. So, anyway, let's see what else we've got here. We're wondering how you feel. Don't worry about how I feel. We're wondering how you feel about a borrower and a contractor dating. Have you ever run into this? Is it allowable under the 203K loan? But we just want to make sure before we're moving forward. Thank you. So my answer is, well, yes, we have run into it. It is clearly a conflict of interest. So disclose it to the lender. Let them know exactly what's going on. And ensure the lender that you created this bid and it's a good bid so that you're not. What we can't do is we can't let that boyfriend bid this job 80% low. He's just trying to get the materials covered, or 60% low. We have to have enough money in that bid in case he flakes out. I mean, what if they split up tomorrow and he went his merry way? You have to have enough money to bring another contractor in and finish that project. And if you didn't do that, then you're going to be between a rock and a hard place. It's just not going to work. So, but once you disclose it, now it's no longer a conflict in the general sense of the word. It's still a conflict. But as long as now the lender is assured that you created this bid and that you say these numbers are good and that the homeowner boyfriend did not do that, then you should be good. I mean, if your bid is $100,000 for the project and his bid is $95,000 to $105,000, then I would think it'd fly without any trouble. However, if your bid is $100,000 and the boyfriend's bid is $50,000, now you know right away something's wrong. Okay? So you're going to have to find another contractor that's going to give you a bid, and he's going to come in at $100,000, similar to you, if you've done your job right. That's $50,000 really looks poor, and it looks like they were trying to commit fraud. So you just got to be careful. You don't want to participate in fraud, even as an unwilling participant. I've got one right now where the mother's boyfriend was going to be the contractor, the mother's boyfriend. And her husband was going to help him work on the weekends and his days off. Before it closed escrow, the mother's boyfriend left town. And they broke up and he disappeared. So he's not even going to be on the project. Husband doesn't know what to do with it. They had to find another contractor already. And guess what? There's not enough money to finish the project. So even though they went with my bid, the new contractors are all, here we are a year later. Prices have gone up. We had eight fires in California, major fires. All the resources are going up, so material cost is doubled almost in many cases. And all the contractors are super busy, so they're all raising their prices. So it's just not the same as it was a year ago when they started this. So it's we think we found someone to finish that project now, and they're supposedly doing so. I'll be anxious to get that one closed. The consultant had another question. It says, also, I would really love, any information you can provide on any upcoming training classes. I'm not sure if I would want to take it if the full... Not sure if I would want to take it the full step in becoming a consultant. Oh, I know what this is. This is the secretary talking. But it would be nice for me to go through a class since I mainly work on the paperwork while the consultant's out in the field. All right, I got it now. But we do have a new course offering. We're going to be doing a class on February 16th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Las Vegas. It's a Saturday. So it gives you Saturday night to go play. The class is going to be 4 one-hour segments. And we're going to feature how to bid a job for 203K and effectively. And what it means to be a consultant and how to consult will be the second hour. The third hour is going to be how to get the most out of our software. Let the software do the work for you. You know, some people are working hard and not getting the benefits of the way this software was written. I wrote it so I could have a lot of 203Ks going at one time. So, oops. Anyway, I see we're up at the clock. My dog is barking out there, so I got to go find out what my neighbor's doing that's causing him to work. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. We'll be here next Sunday between 1 and 2. I beg your pardon. We're going to have a next week will be a rerun because I'm going to be on vacation in San Diego. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.